In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, 2 van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible 2-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, what's happening, Buck 50 runners? We're back at it again down here in the basement doing some podcast recording. I've got our host, Mr. William Presson.
Oh, yeah, we've got a sound for that. Let's get that going.
Yeah. Yeah, William. William's in the house. And we have a super duper very special guest and a very close friend of mine, Miss Jody Bennett. She is a Buck 50 OG runner, ran in every single race.
Well, we did not do COVID. You had it in July or August.
Did you do that? Yeah, you guys.
We didn't do the summer one.
But you signed up for the race, right?
Absolutely.
See, I think is, so do you know about the belt buckle?
No.
I know you don't know about this. So I want to give away a gift to anyone who ran the first 10 Buck 50s, a Buck 50 belt buckle.
I think that's fair.
I mean, you were registered.
Okay.
I think you're in the running still.
Okay, cool.
There's still a good amount that have ran it. Or is it less than what I think?
What do you think? I kind of started to do some math today. I didn't do it super accurately, but I have a good ballpark idea.
I'd say maybe at a minimum at least 15 people.
I think it's about double that.
So probably about 30.
I think there's about...
Do you mean people or teams?
People.
Oh, I bet more.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... our software will track how many years you've ran in the race. What can get screwed up is, for instance, if you signed up as Jody Bennett and you used the... Say you used a Gmail address 1 year, and the next year you used a Yahoo address or something, or maybe even you had a name change, The software doesn't quite recognize that. Okay. So we'll really get down and dirty and find out all the details to make sure we do it right. But I'm really excited about that.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what that actually comes out to.
It's a pretty high retention rate. I mean, I start to lose people as we cruise into year 9 and... You know, year 10, I understand that. Sometimes people, it's like they send me their resignation letter. Like, Dave, I can't do it anymore. I've had this, that, or the other. I'm injured. I've moved or whatever those things are. And I'm always grateful for that. And I think it's a tribute to the Buck 50 family and really what we are as runners and everyone that's participating. But it's just fun. So. We brought Jody in because, A, she's been around the Buck 50 since it started. And so she's also been runner 1. You've been runner 8. What other runners have you been?
5, 9, 10.
Okay.
I don't think 7.
Okay. But you've done several.
Oh, yeah. And I think I've run around the county most of my life, so.
Well, that's true.
Although the Buck 50 does take you in places you didn't know existed.
I would agree with that, yes. Too, yep. Even when we design a thing. It's been kind of fun. So let's talk about specifically being runner 1.
Okay.
We've decided that on our podcast series, we're going to have runners who represent each leg of the race. Mm-hmm. And they can kind of give their verbal description of what it's like to be that runner. part of it is, you know, what's the atmosphere like? And then part of it is like, what's the terrain like?
Okay.
So runner one coming out of the gate gets the benefit of, you know, you're at the starting line, you've got all the music, you're getting introduced, everything's excited. We send you out of the chute at the Shoemaker Center at Ohio University Chillicothe. And then what happens?
Well, wait, first of all, I think you asked us our favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
Do
well,
you remember that first year? What were our songs? And you kind of played some
that.
Of those.
I don't ask that as much as I used to, because some people send me bad ones, but I do usually play your song.
Lose Yourself by Eminem.
That's right. Yeah, if Jody's at the starting line, I will play Lose Yourself by Eminem.
It's a good choice.
It's a good choice. It yeah. is. So the crowd is big, usually at the start. And so out of OUC, this year you're going back to the original leg one, which I think is great.
It's exciting.
It is. Yeah. I mean, OUC gives you a lot of parking options. And I mean, the gym, or I think the auditorium.
Shoemaker Center.
The Shoemaker Center is nice to kind of unpack and whatnot.
It's so nice of OUC and Ohio University as a whole, that when they built that gym up there, that they built that bridge specifically for us. That was a really kind gesture of them.
That was. How thoughtful.
Yeah.
Foresight.
Forward
thinkers.
Thinkers.
Yeah, they're
right.
Intelligent up there. I mean.
So you go out, and let's see, you go around to Keller. You go out of the gate, go to Keller. Is that right?
Yep.
And so usually it's people go out pretty fast. And there's a nice dip. You go to the end of Keller, take a right down Bellevue. And then it starts to dip. It's a pretty steep decline. So Oh, I can remember this. There was a gal, my first one, really long-legged gal. I was trying to keep up with her, and she was flying down that hill. And then it kind of flattens out, and you hit. It is absolutely beautiful. The Junction Group is a new park there on the left, and it's part of the the historic,
I forget that conservatory part that has bought up a lot of those different pieces of historic property that they're trying to...
Arc of Appalachia.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
And so that's a beautiful, beautiful landmark. And as you go down Polk Hollow, it gets kind of quiet, and you take a little curve, and you start to climb, and the climb is pretty steep. It's not as steep, like I was saying earlier, going the opposite way, but it's a heck of a climb. And there are not a lot of homes, not a lot of dogs out that way. And the ones that there are pretty friendly. I've not ever had a problem out there.
I ran out there once with a dog that like followed me forever.
Oh yeah.
And like, I couldn't get rid of it.
Nope. Nope.
I finally.
They'll eventually find their way back. So you go up this big hill and it is beautiful. And I was saying, I used to run this with my dad and sister when we were younger, Polk Hollow, quite a bit. So I absolutely love that run. It is tough. Anyway, you get to the top of the hill. And you kind of dip, 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 and then you hit the dogs and some farms and such. And then it's a nice drop, nice, smooth drop. And
It's super nice. Once you get through that little S turn at the top of the hill where it has two really hard 90-degree turns, you've pretty much conquered the hill part.
Then it's sailing down. But then once you get to the bottom, you're kind of near the creek. And that's where there are some more dogs. They don't usually bother you.
See, we recommend that you either carry mace when you're running or a pork chop. Because if you have to defend yourself, you've got the mace. But also, pork chops work. I mean, they're gonna take that versus a bite out of your hind end.
Absolutely.
So.
Hey, and if you don't have to use it at the end of the race, you've got to give yourself a nice snack.
You get extra protein during the race. So probably you want to put that in a good, like, Ziploc baggie, maybe even double wrap it, so that way if it's in your pocket.
Yeah.
Or just hold it.
Put it on some ice.
Put it on a keychain. Like, use the bone. Get the bone in kind. Have it, like, on a keychain or, like, a chain drive. But, yeah, it looks like you're about 4 miles in to get to the top of the hill.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
yeah.
4 miles.
And then you're kind of clear sailing for the rest of it. It's
What's
almost...
What's the total on that? Is that six and a half?
It's just under 7 miles.
Okay.
6.8, 6.9 miles.
So when I got... I was coming up to the hill, and I think that was the first time I saw one of the motorcycle volunteers. I don't think it was Billy. It might have been
Billy
Bill Freeman.
Bill Freeman. Oh yeah.
Yeah. They came out and they went all around, I guess, the course and kind of just watched out for everyone. And then
they're great.
They're wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And then I saw Dave and Jeff North I had just come up the hill, and I was kind of whining, and they said, "Speed up, speed up!"
And you're like, "That guy in front is kicking my butt. He is flying. He is flying."
That was fun because that was the first year of the race, and I had, of course, been just camped at OUC all day. And North, who's one of our route managers and one of our great friends that Jody and I have known forever, he's like, "Dude, you can't believe what it's like out there. There's people that's got signs everywhere.
Yeah.
They're all through Yaples. They're all through whatever." And I'm like, "What?" And I happened to have a break between, like, once your starting group went out and then the freak show with all those guys. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, well, I was sitting in the back of North's pickup truck, and we came up on Jody on leg one and
gave her some motivation.
Left me. That's right. So then you get the nice little decline. That's one of my favorite parts. It's beautiful. It winds around through the woods. And I don't know what time we started that year, but it was still daylight, just beautiful. And then you sink down, and you get a long, flat drive. And then there were some more people out with signs and such.
So that's leg one. Leg one is a start. It's almost 7 miles. You definitely have a hill.
There's some lonely parts, which is not bad for a runner.
No, it's
good. It's good. That's a good county road.
See, I like that.
I don't find that it's dangerous. I find that it's beautiful.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So leg one. So then.
Okay.
So what do you do when you have downtime between you jump back in the van, you're cheering on your other runner.
I change my clothes.
Okay.
I actually have baggies. I use the big Ziploc baggies.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my running outfits in each one.
Okay.
And then I have clothes that I change into between the exact same clothes I change into between
each leg.
Leg. Okay. Legs, yes. So I take off my wet clothes.
Yep.
And I change into my loungewear.
Yeah.
And then I get something to drink. I'm so grateful that I'm finished. I sit around. I mean, there's not a lot of downtime at the checkpoint. You get back in the van and go to your next point, really.
Yeah. By the time you change clothes, change shoes, whatever, get in there.
Yeah.
You're off to the next checkpoint.
Off to the next checkpoint.
And then that runner is getting out.
Right.
They're getting ready to run their leg of the race. And then you're just kind of
chilling.
I'm
getting nervous thinking about it. I get so excited. Yep. Okay.
So then what do you guys do when you are, so you finish at checkpoint five as a runner one. What do you guys do?
Camp out. Okay. So we've done it several. I've been in van one and van two.
Yep.
And so one of our friends had a cousin that had a camper at a campsite. We camped there. We've camped in someone's barn.
Okay.
We've camped at one of the runners' houses. We just lay in the floor. We've camped at Southeastern, and they have a wonderful space.
Yeah.
And
big parking lot.
You know what I saw that I would
bathrooms.
Love? Inside bathrooms are so nice. They're warm.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
They've actually told us to not bring Porta-Johns next year because no one uses them.
Okay.
Because they're so nice. They have that
wonderful.
Beautiful field house. There's heat in there.
Beautiful field house.
It's many stalls. It's nice size.
And
so.
I've seen people actually bring, this is interesting, at Southeastern, cots that you can set up, and they're on sleeping bags. Kind of like gurneys almost.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. And I thought about that. I mean, that would be a great option because you do want to stretch. I do like to stretch out. We had a little bus, a mini bus one year, and Globe Furniture kindly donated some
furniture
or some sofas or something. Part
Mr.
of sofas.
Seth Brown has been
Seth
rumored
Brown,
to be one
right.
of the. He's been rumored to be one of the better $150 drivers.
He's incredible. He knows exactly what kind of music we like.
I mean, that's something that's probably underrated in the race. You know, people are talking about trying to poach faster runners or runners that like trails or runners that like hills. What about the drivers?
You
out
have
there?
To have
yeah.
a good driver.
I mean,
Seth
good
Brown
driver.
Has been our driver every year. Shout out.
Seth Brown.
Anyway, one year he let us borrow some cushions, I guess, and we all camped out in this bus on them like a bunch of sardines. It was fun.
It's pretty sweet.
I like to sleep when I can.
Do you get much sleep during the race?
As
How many
much
hours
as I
do you
can.
Think you get?
3 at a time.
3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's impressive.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, our last between the The second and third will get 3 hours.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a lot.
Maybe two. I don't know. I'd say three. 3 hours is good.
William, do you know that William has a set sleep time?
Not by my own choice. It's mandated.
It's a mandated sleep time. Yeah. He does not do well with lack of sleep.
The last time
the buck 50 might be tough for you then.
And I'm not even running it. I'm just organizing it. The last time we were at OU Chillicothe, I remember Doug Himes was looking at me and he's just like, William, I think we're going to have to tie you down to that chair, that bar stool you're sitting on. Cause
were you bobbing?
He was going to fall off.
Oh, that
yeah.
one. That
and it's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
I mean, that was only what? That was year three. So, I mean.
It has worked out well because I've done that mandate with William the last 2 years, and I have seen a more rejuvenated,
that's good,
refreshed yeah. William.
Know what works for you.
Yeah, it benefits me.
Considering the guys in charge of the timing, it's somebody you want
thank
to be
you.
Sharp.
And GPS.
GPS trackers and the radios.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So it's been nice because I've actually even, I think there for a time we were saying, William, you've got to be off the course by midnight. And I've actually kind of taken it back some where I actually kind of get off the course, if I can, maybe around 8 or 9.
Because he lives just right off leg 10.
Okay.
So as I can kind of work myself from Edina all the way out towards Kingston. I will usually sit up there right off of Wolf Road, there where the power station is, mm-hmm. and I can watch runners go by. And then once I know that so many of our group is there, then I'm
Do you have
I'm
a problem gone. Falling asleep?
No. Past couple years,
no,
I haven't.
Good.
Usually, it's go home, take a shower, and then I'm out for a good while, and then I'm usually back down around Southeastern mm-hmm. in the morning.
Yeah, it's worked out good.
That's
worked
nice.
Out real good.
Yeah.
So we talked about Kingston. So runner 11. Runner 11.
Okay.
Jody's time runner for 11. Your second leg. You're in Kingston.
Okay, thank you. Oh, and we take off from the grain mill.
That's right.
Oh,
which is
my
really...
gosh. So this is where the vans change, obviously.
Yep.
So it's a big site, a big checkpoint. And the 1 year we had a wonderful DJ. I can't remember her name. She was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But it was very loud in the middle of Kingston. And I don't know how that went. But we sure loved it.
We've received a phone call before.
I bet. I mean, it was really fun. But, that's a great great energy there. Everyone still has energy because it's just
it's
your
so
first
fun.
Switch
it
off.
Is the,
it's a blast.
It is
it
the
is.
Best checkpoint as far as there's a great ambiance there. I always feel like they should film a movie there.
I
like,
totally
whenever
agree.
I go in
right.
there,
it's very different. It's
there's
different
these
from
big
the
grain
other
silos.
Yeah.
There's these conveyor belts everywhere. They're nice enough to turn all the lights on mm-hmm. everywhere.
Probably lights up the whole town.
I mean,
it is now. That's an area I don't know that I'd ever seen.
It's crazy cool. There's a lot of. I mean, everyone at this point has finished their first leg of the race. Everyone is in the groove. They're excited to take on their second leg of the race. So the mm-hmm. energy is just astronomical.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. In fact, we had 1 year, Fritz was standing, and I have it on video, was standing there just talking up a storm, and the number 10 came in, Richard Enderlin.
Okay.
And we're all yelling, Fritz, he's just talking.
I mean, he's
just
not even
animated
engaged.
As can be. And this is when we were trying to be competitive, and he just jumps up. And anyway, you kind of forget what you're there to do. You're there yeah. to socialize. It is fun. That's a great checkpoint.
You talk about dialing back the competitiveness for the chill runners. And so for those of you who don't know, the team that Jody has ran on, they're called the chill runners. To my knowledge, they're probably the original running group in Chillicothe.
No, wait a minute. I'm going to stop
okay.
you.
Okay.
Dave Higgs. Melissa Higgs Horwell.
Yeah, he was the
my
guidance
counselor.
They
were the counselor. Original ones, the guidance counselors, and
okay.
she was a teacher.
Okay.
And they, I remember when I was in high school, junior high and high school, they had a running club. Their son, Walt Eberst, who is an excellent runner for Chillicothe High School, ended up running at UK. He was a mid-distance runner.
Okay.
He and I would jump in. They would go. They had a running club, and they would run and Christmas Carol. I remember we jumped in with them at cross country.
Did they have a name?
Or something. No. So when
okay.
No, I, not that I know of.
Okay.
But no, chill runners. Oh gosh, we've been running for 20 years probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a we've had monster numbers before, and So we have a lot of older runners because we've kind of
So I'm bringing aged. Back the competitiveness because yeah. in the 2025 Buck 50, we now have age groups.
Oh, my gosh. So
you guys have, okay, so first year of the race, the Chill Runners would have technically been a third place team, but they had an injury.
So someone had to run twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we got booted.
Yeah. So at that point, we had this real strict rule that if you had a substitution or change, then you were automatically not eligible to be a top three winner. So that really hurt my soul. And then it took us a year or two. Then we had the Joe Jinx experience like 2 years later where Joe went down and kind of a similar thing where like a team really outperformed.
Yeah.
And yet they were penalized. So now we have a rule that if you substitute someone, it's just a 20-minute penalty. And technically you...
And I remember having that conversation with you. I was kind of like, I'm not sure a disqualification is worth it here. Because if anything, it's more of an accomplishment, especially...
If someone has to run twice.
Especially with Joe's team, because they were so fast, even a runner short.
Yeah.
So they ran... They had a five-person team, lost a guy. So then they ran... Basically 100 miles with four people.
Mm-hmm.
But not rule.
They did that for 3 hours.
That rule has changed. they were so fast. So that rule has changed a good. But with these age categories, because the Chill Runners do have their name on the plaque in a couple years here. You guys have a first place finish.
We have some older folks.
But now with it being like the Masters group.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's going to be competitive. So you better start training, Jody.
Oh, I will.
You can't be just like coasting in.
You just got me.
You can't just be coasting in. Stephanie, that goes for you, too. Like, I know you're thinking that, like, I've got these guys wrangled. I'll get them signed up and I'm done.
That's exactly right.
But that's not the way this works because now you have a chance to bring home victory.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, I think if you look at our co-ed runners over the age of 45, oh my gosh, or 50, over 50, you should see some of the people we have running on our team.
What's even better is that there's somebody out there listening to this thinking, oh, these are fighting words.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's
bring
on.
It.
Well,
and I love that.
Well, it is a race.
It is. And then I try to say, but it's so much fun. And why are we really doing it? But then there's that little competitive thing.
You won't, just like you said, the guy that passed you on leg 21, you just wouldn't let it go and you had to take him down later.
I did.
And I love it. We're not right there. So Kingston, okay, we leave Kingston exciting.
So you leave Kingston, it's
you're
gonna
kind of just, it's dark. Everyone's running at night at some point, but you're definitely running at dark if you're runner one on leg 11.
Yes, it's a 4.8 mile run and it is a nice, most of it's decline. So it's a nice rollers down until the very end, but it is dark. It's not, there aren't a lot of turns. I think initially you go through the little town of Kingston, but that's pretty well marked to my recollection. There is a long, what's that road called? I can't see.
Is that Sulphur Spring?
Oh, no, Dry Run. Yeah, you go down Dry Run out of Kingston, then you take a right onto Sulphur. No. Onto what road is that? Snyder Road, and then Sulphur, and then a left on Sulphur Springs. So it's not, I mean, that's 4.8 miles. That's not bad at all. And like I said, it's rollers down. That's a quiet run. There aren't a lot of people out that I recollect. And then at the end, toward the end of that, you're coming into the Zane Trace High School, and there's a state highway patrolman, or is it a state highway patrolman?
Yeah, highway patrolman, because you're crossing
over. And
that's
so nice when you look up and you see something.
Yeah.
Because I think there's, you know, that can get kind of quiet out. You're looking for other headlamps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice, and they kind of direct you up into Zane Trace. Let's see. So that's a nice. I think that's a good run.
Yeah, that's kind of like a nice your run. nice break.
I do like night running most of the time. It's really not. It's more exhilarating. It's not terribly scary. There was a couple years ago a little bit of a tough one when it rained so heavily, but. The remainder of it, I've never had been uncomfortable really running at night.
Do you feel like when you run at night that you run faster or slower than what you normally
Much
would?
Faster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, runners, if you're listening and you're going to do your pace projections, keep that in mind.
Right.
But also, go train. Go run
go
at night.
Go train.
Oh, yeah. Run at night. And, you know, I want to make a point here because my sister is an incredible runner. She's a little bit younger than I am, or quite a bit younger than I am, but she's a really good runner. And very long distance. She's done several 100-mile runs. And she said, Jody, why is this so hard? It's, how many miles do you run? 15
yes.
total? I mean, she goes out every day and does 11, 12. It's not a big, you know, or it's not a big deal for her. And she ran it and she understood why this was so hard, because you do run very, very hard. Then you get in a car or a truck or a whatever, a vehicle, and then you sit for a few hours and then you get back out and you run very, very hard. And so she really understood what I was talking about, because it is, it's very tough when
Liza's
you're running.
Liza probably gave me like one, like to this day, I still think of Liza complimenting me about the race, because we'd had it for a few years. Mm-hmm. She had not participated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I know she runs a lot
right.
and has run in many events before. But when she ran her first Buck 50, she was over the moon, excited.
Loved it.
She was, I think she even told me she was a little bit nervous because she was bringing Scott to run.
Right.
But she didn't know how good the race was. Scott is now her husband. And she was a little bit nervous. And she's like,
to bring him down to
we're
going to
go run the Buck 50 in Ross County. And I think you're going to have a good time. It's, you know, my sister loves it. And then, like, she
you're
did
be
it.
You're going to be
in a van
with
it, and then she was
six
like,
people.
This is like the best race ever.
Mm-hmm.
This is my hometown. And this is Dave Huggins. And,
he's been back to run more than she has.
Really?
Yeah. Because last year she couldn't run. He filled in with, he came in. And
see, ran, yeah.
Or no, maybe it was 2 years. I get all the years.
So it was a great testament to someone who's from here, a very strong runner, someone we love having, you know, as being a part of the race, but just kind of neat how things unfold like that.
So back in the van. Let's go back to.
Now we got to do leg 21.
Oh, gosh.
So leg 21, you're now meeting at Southeastern High School where you're taking off.
So you've run Polk Hollow, which is a heck of a hill.
Yeah.
You've run this nice Kingston out in the country.
Yeah, Kingston to Zane Trace.
And now you're, it is from Southeastern. Okay.
Yep.
Let me tell you.
The best thing about this is now the sun's starting to come up.
It is absolutely beautiful. I think Dave and I were talking, and William and I were talking, I think this is a slept on leg because it is, I was going to say flat. When I look down at the elevation, it's actually a complete decline. It's only, it's what I say, 5.7 miles.
5.7 miles.
It doesn't
miles.
Seem like a lot, but let me tell you. Okay, I'll tell you the beautiful part is the sun's coming up. You look over at the horizon. And you are so grateful to be in Ross County. That is no kidding. It is one of the most beautiful. It's one of my. I mean, when the sun comes up and you're a runner, that's one of the nicest things you can ever experience.
Oh, it's well as a race director.
Oh,
when the sun comes up, it's a nice experience.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all dying from that
right
3 to 5:30.
Right
window,
right,
and then all of a sudden the you know sun starts.
The
to peak
sun
up,
comes up.
Starts
you see
like
it.
It's like you have a whole
my
new life.
Gosh,
sometimes,
you do.
Sometimes I think Saturday afternoon, you have to really do the math and think. We've been out here for 2 days.
Yeah, Dave. I don't know how you. I do not know how you guys do it with the energy.
I love it.
I know you do.
I
know you do.
I have started to sleep for like 30 minutes to an hour. I sleep at Southeastern.
It's a great place to sleep.
So if you
what
see
do you
my,
sleep in?
I just sleep in my truck for a little bit. And with like the radios on, my cell phone's on, I'm still intermittently answering people. Like it's not a real sleep, but it's
a nod off.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
That is kind of a quiet time. And from years past, like I've actually went to sleep with the radio on and I sleep through it and I don't hear anything.
I don't think last year I slept a nickel. I was up the whole entire time, and I've probably never felt greater than I did last year.
Yeah, I remember you pulling into Southeastern. I was already there, and usually I get there and you're asleep, but not this year.
I was rocking. Well, Scott Roush, DJ, guy lives in our neighborhood.
Okay.
Dude, he kills it down there.
He does
there.
A great
oh,
job.
Oh, yeah.
He kills it. I mean, one of my favorite Buck 50 moments is being there at the parking lot. You know, like you said, people will go down there and try to catch a few Z's
right.
in their van. And so it's pretty subdued before the first runners start to get there. Well, all of a sudden, runners start to come in. Scott turns the music up, and he's on the microphone.
people, get out of your dang old car. My gosh. Runners coming in. There's runners coming in.
I love it. I love it.
It is one of my favorite moments. Like, it's fine that you were sleeping before, but now we got runners to cheer on.
Yep. Yeah.
Does a great job.
Southeastern is a great place. It's a wonderful, wonderful school. We love Southeastern. We love their bathrooms. We love how warm their bathrooms are. One of our chill runners still has his name on the record. He's a record holder, Rocky Hammond.
Okay.
He's incredible. He's an OG chill runner. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, he's excellent. So anyway, and they have really, they usually have Krispy Kreme donuts, and our driver just looks so forward to Southeastern stop, getting up in the morning, because we usually sleep there, and getting some Krispy Kreme donuts.
Back to Seth Brown. Yes. How much, like, you couldn't afford to poach him from the Chill Runners?
Absolutely not. He's married to one of our runners.
But you could probably try to entice him with a lot of food. I feel like that's the key to Seth's heart.
I don't know. He really likes our group. We'll bring him plenty of food.
I've heard that he basically eats at every single checkpoint.
He does. What do you have over here?
Yeah.
What's this one got?
Yeah. He probably doesn't eat for the whole week before the race.
It's a buffet.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't even have to pack snacks.
No.
He just goes for it.
He could write a book on where to go.
Yes, he
what
should.
To get and
he
why
should.
To get it.
You should make him do
He has a lot of experience and wears it pretty proudly.
That's a good...
So leg 21, really is 5.7 miles. But
and
I almost
that
feel
does
like you,
not seem like a long...
I feel like you want to add a mile to that.
I do too. And I want to reiterate that this is a nice decline. And I'm telling you, it's one of the harder runs. And I think it's because it's the third run, because you've been up all night, and because there is a stretch, and that is along old US 35 that seems to go forever.
Oh,
absolutely
forever.
I say that and I'm laughing. It's 5.8 miles or 7 miles. It's not that big of a deal, but it really is.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm...
it's 3 miles that you're on.
It's only 3 miles, but it's a straightaway. I mean, it's a complete
it is so
straightaway.
Straight. You just see straight cornfields.
And you're trying to look for something beautiful and it's there.
And for some of the runners that maybe haven't run this leg, and I can't say too much either, but I just know how brutal it is at that point. Even though it's downhill, mostly flat, kind of a calm, easy run, I remember, I think it was maybe 2021 or 2022, that I left Southeastern going to the gravel pit, and there was a guy, and he had just left Southeastern, and he was down to a walk, and he just looked like he had been beaten to a pulp.
I don't know why.
And I was like,
absolutely.
I kind of stopped, and I was like, are you okay? I was like, do we need to get you to the next checkpoint? And he's like, no, I'm good. And I remember we were at checkpoint 21 for about maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And then we left, and he was just starting to come in.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was still at that walk, and I was just like, oh, man, he's so done.
Just done. Yeah, it is. It's tough. That's tough. That, when you come on to Higbee Road and you look up, they have such a wonderful aid station.
Huntington
High School. They do a wonderful job. They take great pride in that, and they should, because it is well received. I remember just feeling beat up on that one.
And you're kind of close there. You're close there to the river, so most of the time you've kind of got that fog setting in there
early
morning.
Especially
you've got runners coming in out of the fog, but they've got it down to a science out there where they've even got their own radios where they're letting people know we've got runners coming in. And it's a well-oiled machine.
It
that's
is.
For sure.
Yeah, they've done a nice job with that. You know, I think about all the, because I have run a lot of the legs, I think about all of the aid stations and from the early days of Buck 50 to how they've changed. And I've done some of the ultras, and those can be really phenomenal aid stations. And looking at how Buck 50 has their aid stations, or our aid stations have really jumped up and had fun with it. And that's what it's all about.
It really is. I think that's the part that most people who have not run the Buck 50, they're apprehensive. Is this thing organized?
Oh my gosh.
Will I get lost? will people take care of me? Am I going to make it around this 150-mile trip around Ross County? And it's funny kind of to us because those are all normal expectations.
Yeah.
What happens, though, is the people of Ross County take over and they just blow the doors off of people.
I completely agree. It is phenomenal to see how much and how many years, 9 years?
Yeah,
is this 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years.
How many people know about this and get so excited? They're not running. They're taking part in some way. It's fabulous. It really is. I have several people at work that come in and they're part of an aid station and they get so excited to tell me about what they have at their aid station. And I also want to give a shout out, and I know you guys have probably already done this, the Memory Mile going into Brown's Chapel.
Oh, we haven't really talked about that. That's
a good thing to talk about. Okay. Do you want me to even...
Yeah, let's...
What leg was that?
It's Runner 8.
Runner 8. That was a wonderful run. I can't remember where it starts. But anyway, the last mile... There are people can honor a loved one that has died from an overdose, or what I saw a lot of, we do recover.
Yeah.
Signs they can purchase, we do recover. And I tell you, it was so meaningful. When I came in, I was so tired because I don't care if you run 3 miles or if you run 5.8 miles, you run hard, it's hard.
Yeah.
If it's not hard, you're not running hard.
That's right.
So I came in and I had a mile and I started hitting those signs. And it was just like those little God winks we all get when we run and we're really, and it just was, it was very moving. It really was very moving. And a lot of people have said that.
It's one of the, like, unless you're there, it's hard to see it or understand it, more importantly.
What's a tearjerker just sitting here even thinking about it?
Because it's very moving, the whole energy.
It puts... And it's hard to even do that. It puts a face to those that are being impacted by it. Mm-hmm. When you drive by one, you're kind of like, wait, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the next one. You're like, I think someone's name's on that.
You'll see many people walk back from the checkpoint to go look at them.
And then you keep going, and it's name, name, name after name after name.
Yep.
And you're kind of like, I know what this is, but you still don't know how to put it into words.
Mm-hmm.
So Christine Lamon is who runs that for us. She lost her son, Joe, to an overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And to honor Joe, she has started a scholarship fund here in Ross County. And she raises thousands of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
Through different avenues throughout the year. But really, it's only $25 to honor someone who has either... you know, lost their battle with recovery, or to celebrate someone who has.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she has a luminary torch that's lit. There's a light that shines on a sign that's made for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to, you know, each year we get a little bit better of getting that word
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful feature.
But it's a super special part of
it
the
is.
Race.
I mean, it's
funny because it's 1 mile. But it's so much bigger than 1 mile.
Oh, it is. And it brings you back to, like you say, why are you here?
Yeah.
And how fortunate we are to be here and to try to give back in some way. Oh, my gosh. That's one of my favorite. I've only done that leg once. And, oh, that was
Yeah, it's a very special moving. Thing in the darkness to see all those tiki torches lit up honoring those folks.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Before you get there, though.
Yes.
Checkpoint 7 is ran by Another Chance Ministries.
Oh my gosh.
Which is
something
that you're a part of.
Yes,
so
I love
us,
it.
So tell us what you do. Tell us what that is.
Okay.
And what you do with them.
So Another Chance Ministries is something that was founded by Pastor Troy Gray out of Zion Church several years ago. He saw the need to do something in the community when the opioid crisis was really rearing its ugly head. And he started out pretty slowly with a house and kind of not, I don't think he had a whole lot of direction, but, and I don't want to overspeak because there's a history there that I'll probably muddle up, but I kind of stepped in. I had seen him walking around the community, anointing the streets of Chillicothe, no kidding, with oil when the women were missing. And I drove by his house one day. I was going on a run, and I happened to see him out at the mailbox, and I really had it on my mind. I wanted to speak to him in some way. So I stopped him. I'd never met the man. I just saw him. Then I said, I introduced myself, and he kind of looked me dead in the eye. It was a bit intimidating. And I just said, I see what you're doing. And I'm a nurse practitioner, and have had the fortune to deal with a lot of people that have been in recovery, and some not so fortunate. But in any event, I said, I'd love to help you in some way. And I said, I want you to know, I see what you're doing, and our community appreciates you, and I will pray for you. And he just looked right through. I mean, it was odd. He said, yeah, this is difficult. Well, about 4 or 5 months later, I gave him my phone number. 4 or 5 months later, I got a phone call at work, and I happened to answer my phone. I didn't know who it was, and it was him. And he asked me if I would be interested in helping out their ministry. And they, it's a recovery ministry, and it is faith-based, and they have, it's a very long program. So it's not a 30-day program at all. It's not even a 90-day program. You go through different phases, and through each phase, you have more responsibility, and you have more, ability to kind of freedom. And it's just been amazing. So I did primary care for those residents, and then I did some of their psychiatric help. And now I do just speaking engagement. Like I teach them about medical care, I go in every once in a while, and we do classes. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. And Dave came to speak to Another Chance Ministries a couple of years ago, and got them fired up. And he's a great speaker. So he had them all fired up. And after he left, a lot of people came up and just, hey, I really want to get involved with this. He had talked about them doing a checkpoint. And a lot of them are here for a spell. You know, they're here in Ross County for a while, and then they move on to their homes. So there is a bit of transition through these programs, but they're all really looking forward to this.
They're amazing people.
They're amazing. They are so excited.
I was pretty nervous when I went in to talk to them that day because I really haven't spent a lot of time in the recovery community. But I've always been a person who I don't do judging. That's just not, I like to learn. I like to meet people, and I'm inquisitive. So I guess I kind of went in there with that attitude. But dude, it was such a positive.
They were unbelievable.
Shouting and cheering, and they were playing games, and they were goofing off and making fun of each other. And it was.
It's a wonderful program. It is. It's been the highlight, really, of my career, I think, is to be able to work with that group.
I mean, they could charge money for people to go in there and get like a little extra energy boost that
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have.
It's amazing.
There are some runners that have come out of that program, some wonderful runners. And Dave was nice and said he'd like to offer them the ability to run, you know, a team, but that's kind of hard. That's kind of hard to do. So anyway, we'll do baby steps.
But they do run Checkpoint 7 and probably have like one of the greatest all-time quotes in our race. So we have radios that are all throughout our staff. There's probably, I'll say there's 15 to 20 of these things on during the race with miscellaneous people all throughout the course managing the race. So part of our we use this for any kind of directional things. If someone feels like there needs to be more signs, we'll communicate that through the radios. If there's any kind of challenges at a checkpoint with parking, or, you know, we'll communicate that. If there's someone who is injured or lost, mm-hmm. we'll use our radios for that. But then we also use radios to announce to everyone that this checkpoint is open or this checkpoint is closed. And so last year, Another Chance Ministries, who does Checkpoint 7 in Clarksburg, the announcement over the radio was that Checkpoint 7 is closed, but the party continues.
Oh, yeah. They have great music. I mean, we pulled in there, and even the people that were parking, they were so excited and warm, and oh, my gosh. And the music was great. Reese Winfield did a great job running that. Yeah, Reese did a good job with that. Yep. So
it always, those things, like, that's where, like, the, you don't understand the magnitude of the Buck 50.
Oh no,
because it's such a humongous event and it's so big and covers so many miles that, like, nobody sees it all.
No,
I mean, I was not at Checkpoint 7. I did not see this. I've been there before and seen them in action, and they are phenomenal.
I've driven by, but you bring up a good point. I've been with you guys for going to be 9 years coming up, and I have not been to all the checkpoints.
Yeah.
I've been to them all but the last part, because then we're back at the starting line to work on timing. So I've made it as far as 24. I've never been to a checkpoint after that. Usually at that point, I'm heading back to the starting line. You're with me, William, and we're getting ready.
Well, I think that checkpoint's congested. I do think seven is congested.
Seven is very
they did a beautiful job really directing traffic there. They did in and out. It was a blast. Yeah, they had a blast. And you know, a lot of people in the recovery community, when you talked about the children, is, you know, prevention, what you're doing, what your message is and what your goal is. I think that was really exciting for them. Most of the people in recovery at Another Chance Ministries, they're some 20-year-olds, but they're 40, 50, 60-year-olds. And so they really love the thought of this Buck 50, what Buck 50 is doing.
Yeah, the prevention effort that we
absolutely
have. Absolutely. I mean, these are those stories that just keep kind of going around full circle, where it's like, we're supporting the kids, we're supporting the runners, we're supporting people in recovery, we're all applauding each other.
And Ross County is supporting this.
Yeah.
And I love that. It just every facet of life, because addiction does hit every kind of human being is.
And I'm glad you bring that up. I was asked today on a questionnaire about our organization, and it asked, how would you define vulnerable? Like, who you're serving, and are the people you're serving vulnerable? And my response to it was, drug addiction targets everybody.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to who it's targeting, we're all very vulnerable. And the answer was, we serve everybody. Like, everybody we serve is very vulnerable, because it really does hit everybody.
Every family has been affected in one way or the other.
I think I've taught enough people to not use the term towards me that says at-risk kids. What are you doing about the at-risk kids?
They're all at risk.
They don't ask me that question anymore.
Absolutely.
Because they're all at risk.
They're a kid.
They're like, all like... Right. But I think that's all part of our educational and journey through this life of what really is going on in the drug addiction world, both, you know, how does it start, what's happening in the middle, and then what it's like to beat the monster.
Absolutely.
And
it is possible.
There
and
is
to see
a
wonderful
lot, yes.
life, my goodness, to see just the recovery is just beautiful.
I think it's like
something 75%. So powerful. It is something so powerful to see someone who is in recovery, who is working hard, giving back, and being open and honest, and not walking in shame. You know, walking. It's a powerful thing to witness.
It's a pretty common term for people to say that they love to root for the underdog. When you beat the monster, that is the ultimate underdog story.
Yeah.
That is the I mean, that's why I just love those people.
Oh my God.
Like, I can't even fathom how tough they are.
No.
Or how much pain or suffering they've been through to get to this.
Correct. And not living as victim anymore. Living as victor, honestly.
Yeah.
And taking their, Pastor Gray says, pain into purpose. Turning their pain into purpose. And I'm telling you, the stories I hear over and over and over, it's unbelievable. And their willingness to serve others, I think that's what's so beautiful about, and I'm sure there are many other recovery groups. I just happen to be involved with ACM, but their willingness to serve others, it would make you weep. Yeah. It would. I asked a couple people, who would I contact if, I'm talking to Dave tonight, and who, do you have a name? Absolutely, have him call me if anyone needs any help. It's just.
Can you give that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I have two people respond to me, and I'll tell you, I've texted people in the late evening, and they will text you back when, as soon as they get your number. Tim Stacy, who's an incredible runner, he does intakes and is a counselor, 740-573-7005. Two people gave me his number, and he was one of them.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
It is. It's just incredible. And I think, again, it's, you know, the community working together for the betterment of the community.
Right.
Of human beings.
We're all in this, thing
Absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely.
We're all just trying to get by, do a little bit better today than we did yesterday,
yeah.
Encourage each other. It takes us all.
Yep. Yep. We're all a cog in the wheel, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
All right, so I also have to share with the audience, we just did a whole podcast on pace projections. It just got released. Well, that was one we released earlier this week.
Yes.
So it's like, how do you establish a pace projection, which then we turn into starting times.
Okay.
So I think this is probably the 2019 race, because I know we were still at OUC when this happened. Jody sends me a text like probably the week, maybe two weeks.
Oh, I bet not even 2 weeks. I bet it was the week before.
It was 2 weeks because it was 2 weeks before, and they had a team meeting, and she sends me a text that says, can we change our starting time from 5 o'clock to 3 o'clock? And I thought, well, yeah, we might be able to do that, but why do you need to do that? And so then she just calls me, and she tells me this story. And so first of all, you shouldn't tell this story unless it's true, but it's a guaranteed to change your starting
time. I knew my audience.
It's a guarantee to change your starting time. So they were running with Father Harji, who is a priest in Chillicothe.
Wonderful runner. Wonderful man.
He's runner 8, so he's running in the latter part of the race. You know, if you're in that first van, runners 1 through 5, you're getting done 3 or 4 hours early before your teammates are.
Yeah.
But if you're runner 8, you're carrying this thing through to the very end. So Father Harji has to do confessions at 4:30. No, 4 o'clock, because Mass is at 5. So he has confessions at 4. And he's got to run leg 28. And based on their projected times, he wasn't going to get done in time to be back at church to do confessions.
Can you believe this?
So
oh, yeah.
We moved their starting time from 5 to 3 so that Father Harji would be present in
Dave
the house.
Dave will accommodate. Dave will accommodate
for really
the Catholic
favorite,
priest.
It's really one of my favorite stories of why do you need to change your starting time.
There's not
time.
A lot of reasons we'll let people change times. But
you can't argue with that.
We can't compete with that one.
Yeah, that's I got nothing. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, move them up to 3.
You're like, you want to start at 2 o'clock?
We'll do what we got to do.
Some extra time, too.
But this is part of why we do this podcast, is to try to get some of these stories that
the human stories,
that Jody and I tell behind the scenes on a regular basis as we hang out and laugh and carry on. But
the van rides are fun, you know, good music. It's a fun experience. It is.
So as you're talking about being in the van, what are some things that you pack for race day that someone may forget about, or that even maybe you've forgotten about in the past and you had to remember later?
I tend to get really anxious. I know I'm older, but I still get anxious to run. So I find myself, what works for me is, like I said, having those 3 separate bags for each run that I'm going to do. So I don't have to, if I have a bag full of clothing, I just tend to go through the socks, which sock I just like to I have a little bit of ADHD. So
if you have it, so what you're saying is you have in a Ziploc bag.
Correct.
Running clothes,
run 2,
and then the clothes you're going to change into when you're done.
I have the same clothes I change into.
Okay.
So I have only my, what we call, called a running kit, KIT.
Yep.
Now I will have, so I have socks, under my bra, my shorts, and then I'll have a long sleeve and a short sleeve shirt. We always wear our team shirts.
Okay.
And so I'll have 3 separate ones. And then I will have my in-between wear, which is sweatpants or light shirt, whatever. I don't know what I...
Something that doesn't offend everybody else.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then I have socks. I change my socks and Crocs. I wear one pair of shoes because I don't care if they're wet. I've run in wet shoes.
They're going to get wet. No big deal.
Who cares?
Anyway.
Right. So I try to keep it very, very lean in my bag. And then I have like my toiletries. We always have wipes and such. And then let's see, extra batteries. I know that sounds silly. And I know Dave talks about that, but that is important in case your headlamp, that's another thing that will about make me lose my mind if I can't find my headlamp I just need to have an extra battery. Phone chargers, those are important because we're always communicating with the other van. We always have pretty good music. I would like to have the last couple of times we use a Zion Baptist Church van.
Uh-huh.
Pastor Gray's let us use that. So they have a radio, but I would like to have a little speaker. What are those things called?
Like a Bluetooth speaker?
A Bluetooth speaker. That's something good to use because we do like to listen to music. We use markers to...
you guys are good about the kills on the side.
We
of
called
van.
Them. Yes, we called them saves. Kills or saves. Anyway, if you pass someone, you check off. That's what a lot of people will do. And then food. We were really crazy about food at the onset. I'm not so crazy about food now that we did start getting liquid IV.
Yep.
I'm a fan of liquid IV. I take one liquid IV after each run.
Okay. So this is one of the most important parts of the Buck 50. Train.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You people who show up and are untrained, don't do it.
Because it's not a 15-mile run.
No,
it's three
not
hard
be fun.
Runs with stiffness that sets in between.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not comfortable, but I'm getting older. But
be in shape. Just go be in shape and train. Nothing, you don't be any special. Just train.
Mm-hmm.
But I think hydration is the most important thing you can do during the race. We have Port-a-Johns. At every single checkpoint.
Never had a problem with that. And I am never had a problem with
many that. Many checkpoints will let you use their indoor facilities. They're great hosts as well. Mm-hmm. But I can find myself personally, I can stay up better if I'm hydrated.
Right.
Like there was a period of time in year like probably two or three where like the newness of the race had worn off a little bit. And so did my energy. But mm-hmm. I had found like after that, I mean, I drink as much water as anybody out there. So, A, I'm hydrated, and B, I have to pee all the time, so I can't sleep anyway.
Perfect.
but I do think that having that, and I do drink liquid IVs myself
like
all the time.
Yeah, I like it.
So that would be one thing I would be prepared for when you come into the race is plenty of hydration.
Now, another key they need to remember of preparing is not only training, staying hydrated. So they got to get in and read that guidebook.
Read the guidebook.
I totally agree. I've made the mistake of not doing that and being a little bit sure of myself, thinking, oh, I know this. And you just need to read the guidebook and look at your route.
I think we'll program that into the board. It says something about, don't forget, read the guidebook.
There's a chance it might be on the New York Times best-selling list this
Perfect.
Year. I mean, it's a short story at 35 pages.
I mean, it has been up there before. So
I mean, it's
we're
going
to get a repeat.
We're going to keep talking about that till you guys read
Pillows. I like a pillow in the van.
That's because you're sleeping all the time for 3 hours.
As much as I can. And I try to stretch.
I would think stretching is crazy important.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
We'll call it a night right
there. This was a great night. Thank you, guys.
Jody, we are great friends. We see each other on a regular basis. I was so excited when you agreed to be on the show with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for all you do. I try to tell you that every year, how much I really do appreciate what you do. And we're very, very grateful for you in this town and the kids and the adults, just bringing everything together. It is simply remarkable what you've accomplished. It is, Dave. You've done a great job.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you
very much.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, William.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!